Hi, everybody. I hope you can see my slides. Thank you so much
Yes.
for having me. Thank you. Thanks for the feedback. Thank you so much for having me. I am coming off of Rabbi Schwartz, who spoke about the four children, and I'm going to be speaking about four short topics: Yachal Mirash Chodesh, Mitzchila, Hayu Avotenu, Avdei Avodah Zarah, Baruch Shomer Havtachato Israel, and Vehi She'amda. So we'll get right into it. So these four topics together seemingly are kind of random, very short sections in the Haggadah that really precede our telling of the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, which we'll hear from next from Rabbi Etshalom, and he'll discuss this, how we expand on these psukim from Bikurim when we say Arami Oved Avi, which is the next section that we'll learn. And so I thought to myself, it's interesting that these four sections kind of are sandwiched between the Arba Banim and the Psukim of Bikurim of the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And I was trying to make sense of these four short sections. And so I thought it would be interesting to try to understand if there's something that unites them together. Now, I started to try to think about this, and what I noticed about the Yachal Mirash Chodesh section, which is the first section up here, this is a section talking about when should we start telling the story of the Haggadah? When should we start telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim? And there's a conversation in the Gemara, maybe we should start, maybe we have a Hava Mina, maybe we should start from Mirash Chodesh. And I have a very close friend here. Her name is Michal Leshansky. She actually used to work for the National Library in Israel. And she exposed me to some really interesting Haggadot. And you can find them online. It's an amazing archive. And what I found, I was going through this with her, is that actually many of the Haggadot present this first section of Yachol as being with the She'eino Yodea Lishol. And you can see that over here, where they have this big vehigadata, but it's really part of the same paragraph. This is a Haggadah, the golden Haggadah. I think it's from 1320, a Sephardic Haggadah. And you can see that this section of Yachal Mirash Chodesh over here, starting right there, is actually really going, it continues from the section of She'eino Yodea Lishol. And you can say the same thing. This is a North African machzor from the 18th or 19th century. You could see that the paragraphs just go right into each other from the She'eino Yodea Lishol to Vehigadat Halavincha, Yachol Mirash Chodesh. And I think the reason is because the She'eino Yodea Lishol, the pasuk that we use, the verse that we use to answer or to try to evoke some knowledge for this son or for this child who is not sure how to ask a question, is the same pasuk as we expand upon for Yachol Mirash Chodesh. Maybe we should be reading the Haggadah, or maybe we should be telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh. And I don't want to get into it too much, but suffice it to say, maybe I'll disappoint Rabbi Kalman, but I'm going to leave this section of Yachal Mirash Chodesh as part of the Arba Banim, as part of the four children, because I do think that there is some thematic connection, which we will not discuss today. But this made my job easier because instead, our job now is to try to link these next three shorter verses, these next three shorter paragraphs, and leave out the Yachal Mirash Chodesh. Why that is for a separate share for a different time. So let's march forward. Now, I'd like to skip this Mitzchila section just for a second. We will come back, but moving on to Baruch Shomer Havtachato Israel, and we'll get into the text a little bit. This text is about blessing Hashem, thanking Hashem for keeping his promise to Israel, and it goes through the Brit Ben Habitarim, the famous covenant that Hashem makes with Abraham. And I'll read it for you. Baruch Shomer Havtachato Israel, Baruch Hu, blesses Hashem who kept his promise to Israel. Shakadosh Baruch Hu chishev et haketz la'asok kamosh amar la'avraham avinu bivrit ben habtarim. He calculated the end of our exile. How? Shenemar vayomer la'avram yadoa tadak yigeri yazarecha be'eretz lo'lahem. You should know, Hashem says to Avram, that your children will be strangers in a strange land. Vavadun v'inuat hamarba me'ot shana, and they're going to suffer in this land. They will be oppressed for a 400-year period. V'gamet hagoy asher yavodu dan anochi v'acharechen yetu b'rechush gadol. Right. So I will judge this nation and then they will leave this place with lots of wealth and with much property. And this is largely thought in Bereshit. This is largely thought to be the a nivuah, a prophecy about the future of Yetziat Mitzrayim, which is why we bring it in for Pesach. And of course, that makes sense after we talk about this brit, after we talk about this covenant, that we would then read the very famous song that most of us, many of us, I think, sing at the Seder, V'hi she'amda. What are we talking about? This that has stood for us, V'hi she'amda la'avoteinu v'lanu. This is talking about the haftacha, the brit that we just mentioned, of the brit ben haftarim. And V'hi she'amda takes a little bit of literary license here, where it says, Shela echad bilvad amar aleinu, this brit is not only talking about one nation, but it's talking about b'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu. This is something that happened after Yetziat Mitzrayim. It continued throughout our history, and it continues, as we know very well, to happen to us today. But that we should remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam. Hashem will save us every time this happens over and over again. And so we understand why these two sections, Baruch Shomer and V'hi She'amda, are so very closely linked. V'hi talking about this brit ben haftarim, this brit is a reminder for us, a symbol for us. Before we talk about and expand upon the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, we should remember that this is a timeless story for us, which leaves us really, there was one thing I wanted to mention, thank you, to my slides, that the actual brit, the Yadoa Teda from Bereshit, I think that what the Haggadah is really saying in V'hi She'amda is that you can tell in Genesis, in Bereshit, that the brit was actually anonymous, right? We're not really sure which nation is going to enslave us. It says that we're going to be in Be'eretz Lelahem, V'gamet Hagoy Asher Yavadun Dam Anochi, this nation, whoever it is. And what V'hi She'amda is essentially saying is that, yes, this brit is timeless. We're not sure which nation. In every generation, it will be a new nation. And so skipping back up to this Mitzchila, what is this paragraph doing here before we talk about the brit ben haftarim? And it's a very strange paragraph. It's kind of confusing. I want to read it with you together, and I think this will be the crux, really, of what we're talking about today. It says, Mitzchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoteinu. Our forefathers were ovdei avodah zarah, va'achshav kervanu hamakom la'avodato, and now Hashem has brought us to serving him, shenemar, like it says, vayomer Yehoshua el kol ha'am. Here's what Yehoshua says, ko amar Hashem elokei Yisrael, ve'ever hanar yashvu avatechem me'olam, terach avi Avraham ve'avi Nachor ve'avadum Elohim acherim. So it quotes this pasuk from Sefer Yehoshua, going through the history of Bnei Yisrael before they got to Mitzrayim, starting all the way back with Avraham's father, Terach, who was the father of both Avraham and Nahor, who served other gods. Ve'ekach et avichem et Avraham me'ever hanar, ba'olech oto b'chol eretz knan. So I took, says Yehoshua, Ruh Hashem, I took Avraham from the other side of the Nahar, from the other side of the river, and I brought him to Eretz Knan, and I multiplied his children, his seed through Yitzchak, v'aten li Yitzchak et Yaakov et Esav. I gave Yitzchak two sons, Yaakov and Esav. I gave Esav, don't worry, I won't forget about him. Eten le Esav et Har Seir la Reshet Ota. I gave him Har Seir, but Yaakov uvanav yardu Mitzrayim. And then Yaakov and his sons went down to Egypt. And after we read this paragraph, then we go back in time and read the Brit Ben Haftarim that we just reviewed. Which is to me very strange. I think there's a lot of questions about this paragraph. What is it really doing here? And we'll get into some of the specific questions really. But what is this paragraph really doing here? And what does it have anything to do with the subsequent paragraphs, the Brit Ben Haptarim and Vehisha Amda? And really, why do we need it at all? And so as I've been doing this year for Pesach, I got a little bit back into some interesting Haggadah, I think, some ancient Haggadah. And I wanted to see how they depicted this paragraph of Mitzchila from Sefer Yehoshua. And I thought it's interesting to see some of the artwork, because oftentimes artwork really helps us with how different Haggadah or how different time periods interpret it. There's a lot of interpretation in artwork. And you could see here, this is a Hamburg Haggadah from 1728. Where you can see somebody who's building idols or who's fashioning idols, chiseling idols. You see these are idols over here. That's from 1728. There's an Amsterdam Haggadah, but actually this picture is featured in many of the older Haggadah. This is from 1738. And you can see here for the Mitzchila paragraph, we have a picture of Avraham Avinu, who is sitting with the Shlosha Anashim, the three who we call the three angels who are coming to tell him about the destruction of Sodom, that he'll have a son, that he'll be okay from his Brit Milah, that very famous scene in Sefer Bereishit, which I think is an interesting way to depict this paragraph, Mitzchila of Avodah Zarah. And finally, a really interesting, I think, the Prague Haggadah in 1526 has this picture here of two people in a boat who seemingly maybe are crossing the Nahar, crossing this river that's spoken about in this paragraph, which is also just an interesting depiction of this Mitzchila. So those are three different depictions. I think really there are some really real questions about this paragraph, and I'll just ask a few of them. We're not going to get into most of them, but I want us to keep them in the back of our minds. Firstly, why is it important when Yehoshua is speaking, or why is it so important to the person who put together the people who put together the Haggadah to start the story with Terach, Avram's father? Couldn't we just start with Avraham? Why even mention this river at all? Why do we care about Esav inheriting anything? Why is that an important feature of this paragraph? And why does the Haggadah stop the story, stop this telling of how we got down to Egypt with the saying, Yaakov Ubanav Yardu Mitzrayim? Why not continue the story? Which is very strange. And there's more and more and more questions, right? I'm sure you yourselves can think about. But we're actually going to leave these questions because the question that I really want to talk about is the idea that this, or the reality that this sentence, that these sentences come from Sefer Yehoshua. And I find it interesting and very strange every time the Haggadah does this, where the Haggadah, in order to explain our experiences in Mitzrayim, in order to explain how we got to Mitzrayim, it draws on places in the Torah or in the Tanakh which talk about the story in Mitzrayim, but are not directly from the story of Mitzrayim. And we see this in the most salient way in what Rav Ed Shalom will talk about next, the Tse'uma, Ma Bikesh Lavan Ha'arami, stories of Arami Oved Avi. How there's somebody who's coming to give his bikurim, and he tells the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim in third person. Like, I wasn't there, but here's kind of what happened in order for us to get to Egypt. Vayered Mitzrayimah, Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, Vayagar Sham Im Teme'at, Vayisham Legoy Gadol Atzum Barav. And he became a great nation in Mitzrayim. And these are the psukim that we then expand upon, and we then draw from Sefer Shemot, from the actual story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have this third-person narrative. I think it's interesting also here, we have a narrative which is not directly from Sefer Shemot, not directly from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but rather looking back and saying, this is what happens in the past, and this was the story in my eyes, says Yehoshua. And so the question that I want to spend a few minutes on today is, what is the significance of having Yehoshua's voice in the Haggadah at all? Why is it important that we hear from Yehoshua specifically, especially in light of the fact that in just a few minutes after we sing Vehisha Anda, we're going to hear from another external voice to the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the story of the Bikurim. And so I want to think about together, who was Yehoshua? And we'll go through his life and some of the things that we know about Yehoshua. The first time we meet Yehoshua is in the war with Amalek. So Yehoshua leaves Mitzrayim with everybody in Sefer Shemot. And at the very end of Parsha B'Shalach, we encounter Yehoshua during the war with Amalek, where Yehoshua was really the Tsar Tzava. He was the warrior who led the war with Amalek. And if those who remember, this was the war where Moshe was on a mountain, and when his arms were up, Bnei Yisrael were winning the war, and when his arms were down, they were losing the war. We then meet Yehoshua later on in Sefer Bamidbar, where he has a conversation with Moshe about Eldad and Medad. He was a student of Moshe. Eldad and Medad were two people who were prophesizing in the camp, and he and Moshe have a conversation about that. Then we famously meet Yehoshua as one of the Meraglim, who he was the Meragel, he was the spy for Shevet Ephraim, and of course he was one of the two, him and Kalev, who survived the Magefa, or the killing of the Meraglim, because he brought Dibat Tov, he brought good words, Besarat Tovot, from Israel. And so he was able to survive the 40-year sojourn in the desert. He's then appointed as the next leader of Bnei Israel prior to Moshe's death, and he takes Bnei Israel from the Midbar, from the desert, into Eretz Canaan through the Jordanian passage, the Jordan River. He then is a judge for the people. He's also a Navi. At the very end of Sefer Yehoshua, of the book of Joshua, he stops a near civil war where the tribes of Reuben and Gad were trying to build a Mizbeach, to build an altar. This angered Bnei Israel greatly because they were on the other side of the Jordan River, and Yehoshua is able to stop and mitigate and bring Bnei Israel back together, which he does at the very end of his life, and where he gathers Bnei Israel together, and together Bnei Israel bury Yosef's bones in Shechem. And if we think about this, Yehoshua really in his life is the manifestation of the completion of the Brit Ben Havtarim. Through Yehoshua's life, we really see that it's true. Yehoshua was a slave in Egypt at the beginning of his life. He then moves through all the trials and tribulations that Bnei Israel went through to get to Eretz Canaan, to Eretz Israel. He leads them through that. And then his life really comes, really the life of his people comes full circle at the very end of his life when he brings Yosef's bones to rest. Of course, Yosef, who brought us down to Mitzrayim. And so Yehoshua's life, in a way, is this realization of the Brit Ben Havtarim. And when Yehoshua is making this speech to the nation, when he's making the speech of the history of Bnei Israel, which we read about in the Haggadah, in these verses, Mitzchila Hayu Avotenu Avdei Avodah Zarah, he's really speaking from this place of explaining to them how this Brit was fulfilled. And I want to show you how in this speech, Yehoshua is bringing home this idea, or emphasizing this idea, that Bnei Israel have moved from being Ovdei Paro and Ovdei other gods, and now it's their job to become Ovdei Hashem, to become servants of God. And throughout his speech, and I brought just a few psukim, a few examples from chapter 24 in Yehoshua, really the mila mancha, or the light word, or the important word that comes out is this word eved, is this word working and serving. And you could see here, I'll just read this first pasuk, pasuk yodalad from Yehoshua. He says to Bnei Israel, v'ata yir'u et Hashem v'ivdu ota. You should fear Hashem and you should serve him. And you should get rid of the gods that your forefathers used to serve, Be'ever Hanar, B'mitzrayim, Ve'avdu, Ve'ivdu Hashem. And instead, you should serve Hashem. And this is a theme throughout his speech, moving from serving Paro or serving these gods in Mitzrayim to being Avdei Hashem and to serving Hashem. And what Yehoshua does, I think, so beautifully is then at the end of this chapter, it says, Vayichrot Yehoshua Brit. He reestablishes this covenant with Bnei Israel. And what he's reminding them of is, it's true, this Brit Ben Haptarim is fulfilled, and we are the manifestation of this fulfillment, he's almost saying to Bnei Israel. But we also have a role in this Brit. It's not a one-way street that Hashem will just keep saving us, but we have to remember our role as being Avdei Hashem. And Yehoshua is actually very savvy in the way he sets this up. It says, Vayikra Yehoshua Brit La'am Bayom Hahu, Vayasem Lachok Mishpat Bishchem. He brings them to Shechem, where he buries Yosef's bones. And beautifully, I think, says Rabbi Michael Haddon, he has a series of shiurim on Sefer Yehoshua. He says that what is Yehoshua doing? He's summoning the people for the last time in his life. Yehoshua gathers them to the ancient Shechem, to that site nestled picturesquely between Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Their ancestor Abraham had first arrived. So what is Yehoshua doing? He's reminding the people that the first place Abraham came to when he was told, Lechecha me'artzecha, Vayavor Avram ba'aretz ad makom Shechem ad Elon Moreh ve'aknani az ba'aretz. The first place Abraham came to was the place of Shechem. And what Yehoshua is really setting up for us, bringing us full circle from the Brit Ben Haptarim to establishing this new Brit, where we have a role now in the Brit as well to be Avdei Hashem. And before I end, I want to bring one more quick idea about this manifestation of the Brit, is that we have in the Torah these warnings. What will happen if we break this Brit, if we break the covenant with Hashem? And it's actually mentioned at least at two very salient times in the Torah. One in Parshat Bechukotai at the end, we'll read in a few weeks at the end of Sefer Vayikra, and once in Parshat Kitava in Sefer Dvarim. And this is, of course, the Tochacha, which we read quickly and quietly, that if we don't listen to Hashem, if we are not Avdei Hashem, what will happen to us? And at the end of the Tochacha in Dvarim, in Parshat Kitava, it ends off with this interesting pasuk. It says, what will happen to us? V'heshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim, that Hashem will take us back to Egypt, ba'oniyot. Like, this is like the worst thing that can happen to us if we break this brit with Hashem. Hashem will bring us back to Egypt, ba'oniyot, on ships, on boats, which feels like, okay, you know, after all the horrible things we say that will happen to Bnei Israel, famine, war, childlessness, all these horrible things will return ba'oniyot. There's a beautiful shiur that I think Rav Yoel Binun gave many years ago. And you can also find there's an article on it. And he says, why is this important? Why is this the capstone? Why does this cap off this tochacha of what will happen if we break this brit? Because it is the very undoing of the covenant that we made with God. We say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha in the Aseret Hadibrot, I am Hashem, Asher Hatzeiticha Meretz Mitzrayim. The whole way that you became a nation was that I took you out of Egypt. And how did I take you out of Egypt? I took you out of Egypt by walking you through the Yamsuf. You walked by Yabasha B'tochayam. You walked by yourselves free on dry land, where the Mayim was on either side. And if we undo this breed, if we go against this breed, I will then bring you back on the water, ba'oniyot, against your will, in a way that's very passive, says Hashem. I thought this was interesting because it reminded me so much of the Haggadah we talked about at the beginning, where the artistic depiction in the Haggadah was of this boat, which I thought was very strange. But almost perhaps in a very meaningful way, really, the Prague Haggadah is telling us that it's true, we were brought, Avraham came me'ever ha-nahar. He went over the Nahr to come into Eretz Yisrael, but we do not want to undo the brit and have to go back over Ba'aniyot, on boats. So I hope that we now understand the link and why it's so important to really read this Mitzchila paragraph before we get to V'hi She'amda, before we get to the Haftacha and the Brit Ben Haftarim, and how Yehoshua really shows us the manifestation of V'hi She'amda and our active role, an ongoing and active role in this Brit, and how Yehoshua really is the person to teach us that lesson with his understanding and his deep understanding and vision for the Brit, and may we all be zocheh for V'hi She'amda L'avotenu V'lanu. Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rebecca, very much. There is one little question I see. Why do we talk about Esav?
Ah, yes, beautiful. That's actually, that's a whole different shiur. I didn't really get into the actual content of some of what Yehoshua said. It's a really excellent question. There is actually a fabulous shiur by Rabbi Foreman on his Aleph Beta where he really expands on this idea of Esav. So I won't give it away because it is a lengthy shiur. So right now I'll leave that question and it's a good one.